listen, I can't wait to bring you this tonight. I want to talk to you about the deep waters of the Holy Spirit. I feel a moving and a subtle move going on in this house with me and with you. And I can't put my finger on it, but I know it's the Holy Spirit. Of course, we know it's His moving. But I've got some confirmation, and I want to take you there tonight. We are going to go over to the book of Ezekiel. We're not going to go there right now, but I had my little angels today and helping them with school. School is out tomorrow, but with David working, it was my day today and tomorrow to do that, so, and I so enjoy it. But if you're like me looking for Ezekiel in the New Testament, don't do that. Go to the Old Testament and you'll find Ezekiel toward the back of the Old Testament. So we will be going there in a minute. But I'll tell you, church, I believe that we are, and I don't believe this by myself. I mean, anyone that's prophetic on TV or most of the Pentecostal preachers are saying the same thing. But I believe that we are entering probably the most beautiful and most powerful outpouring of the Holy Spirit ever in history, ever in time. I mean, ever. You say above the upper room? Above the upper room. Because when it happened in the upper room, they were babies. I mean, the church hadn't even been born. Can you imagine those precious people not even knowing what we know about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus? They had never been saved by the blood of Jesus. Never. They really didn't know about salvation, and they didn't even know about the blood. They didn't know everything that we know. They didn't know he kept telling them he would be resurrected, but even after he was, he appeared to them for 40 days. I mean, he stuck around to talk to them a little bit, but still, they didn't really have a clue what was coming down the road. And I'm telling you tonight, we do not either. This is an end-time promise that we have, and those people had a present-day promise. I mean, their promise was, go away, go down to Jerusalem, go up to Jerusalem, go down there and wait for the promise of the Father, because something is going to happen. He's going to send His promise. They didn't know what that was. But I'll tell you, in this last hour and last move, He promised by the words of Joel and Hosea. He said, on the third day I will pour out. That's a whole other subject. But this promise that we have for these end times, it is just something inexplainable, because we really don't know what it is. Listen. If this was going to be about good preaching, and I've said this to you before, if it was going to be about good preaching, listen, we're a generation that's had all the good preaching that any generation has ever had. We've got Christian TV. I mean, I think I must have 20, 30 channels of Christian TV on my satellite direct TV. I've got all of them. I mean, I can go from the best of preachers to the worst of preachers. If it would take good worship, I mean, we've been a church over the years who have literally, I would say, almost worship. One time we went to a mighty move of God down in Florida, and they worshiped for 3 hours every time you went in this tent that seated 10,000 people. 10,000 people in there, and they worshiped for 3 hours. And then you would see people get so tired, people were laying down on the floor in the back, sleeping. Well, if it could have been good worship over the years, I mean, we've got good bands and good musicians and good singers, and we've worshiped and we've praised and we've danced and we've hollered and we've fallen out in the Spirit and we've got up and gone home kind of the same way that we went down in. And yet sometimes resurrected when we got up because of the resurrection. But if it would have taken more good singing, we've had that. We've had more good preaching. If it was going to take miracles, we've had some miracles. If it was going to take all of those things, the signs and the wonders, and we've seen those. But this is a whole nother story Because again, they didn't even know the power of Jesus' name. They didn't know the power of his blood. They did not know the power of his resurrection until the Holy Spirit came in the house and tore everything up. And I'm not sure what is happening in this hour. But I do know that darkness has covered the earth. Gross darkness has covered the people. It's amazing what we are seeing on these little snippets we get. You guys send me snippets of things that are happening on earth, about what's happening with the transgender population and the cartoons. And Nickelodeon Channel is exposing people to transgender and homosexuality. All these little babies, little children are starting to see that, if they're watching that. And that's just a little children's channel. Well, you know, I don't want to get bogged down there, but I'm just saying, church, that I realize that we're going to have to learn how to flow with this revival. See, because I'm going to tell you something. A lot of churches over the years have tried to clone what happened in Pensacola and what happened in Toronto and what happened at Azusa Street. And I'm going to tell you, we cannot clone the Holy Spirit. He will not be cloned. And you know what I think? I think it's an insult to him for us to try to copy what they did back there. I'm not looking to copy what anyone has done. I don't care what they did. I went to Pensacola. I took many of you with me. We went twice, and we loved it. We got in line at 5 o'clock in the morning just to try to get in the sanctuary in the evening. Because you went in there, the presence of the Lord was so strong, you could hardly stand, and all you would do is weep or fall out on your face. See, the presence of God, when it's a mighty move like that, when it's an outpouring, it carries his presence above everything else. And it carries holiness. One person told me from a certain church where... No, I think I'll leave that alone. I just need to leave that. I'll leave that. I'm just saying, I want us to learn how to flow with what's happening right here. And you say, well, why doesn't it just come in and strike? Well, I'm going to show you. Because I think it would kill us if you did. I'll show you. But I've been recognizing the gentle moves of the Spirit. Have you recognized the gentle moving? I don't know if it's patterns that we've been seeing or little trends or movings, but the only thing that I can compare what I'm sensing in my spirit, the only thing that I can compare that to would be Ezekiel 47. So let's look at Ezekiel 47. And I'm going to read a few verses before I get where I'm going. Let's just start at verse 1, Kathy. By the way, Sister Kathy and Brother Rick, on media. Thank you guys so much for being here and being so faithful to us. Thank you so much. Beautiful job. So let's look at Ezekiel 47. Let's start reading at verse 1. And then he brought me, Ezekiel speaking, the angel of the Lord. He brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple or the church toward the east, and for the front of the temple faced east, and the water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. And he brought me out by the way of the north gate, and he brought me around on the outside to the outer gateway that faces east. And there was water running out on the right side. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters, and the water came up to my ankles. And again, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters, and the water came up to my knees. Now, those 1,000 cubits was about 1,500 feet, the commentaries tell us, about 1,500 feet. And then he took me out about another measure of 1,000 or 1,500 feet, deeper out in the water, and he brought me through, and the water came up to my waist. And again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. Amen? All right, we'll stop right there. Now, they went little by little, by little, by little. Remember where the Bible says they went here a little and there a little, here a little and there a little. It seems that God, sometimes he does those suddenlies and outpours, but there is a there's a leading up to that in most cases. See, even in the early church, they had to go to Jerusalem and wait, but they had walked 3 years with the Lord and listened to his teachings, though they still were not saved by his blood and his name and still didn't know everything that he had coming, but something was getting ready to explode on him and in him for them. Okay. So look at this. He said, he took me out and the water just came up to my ankles. Now, when you stand in a wading pool, that sounds like a little children's wading pool, and the water comes up to their little ankles, or if you're standing in a mud puddle, it might come over your feet to your ankles. But that tells me that when the water is up to your ankles, more of your flesh is out of the water, and just a tiny bit of your foot is under the water. So when we are that deep, let me just run what the Holy Spirit has given me by revelation, that when we are only that deep in the Spirit of God, in spending time with him, in reading your Bible, in praying, you haven't gone too deep with him. You're either too busy or you've got too much going on or you just aren't interested in getting any deeper, then that just tells me you're about ankle deep in the waters of God. And more flesh is out of the water than in the water. Hallelujah. How many think I need to be preaching this on Sunday morning too? But that's okay. At least he's in the water. At least he is in this water that's flowing out of God's house. It's flowing out of the right side of the altar. And it goes out through the door and out to the east side. And then it flows out to the south. And this, it just flows out. But at least he's standing knee deep. Now look at this. And then he took me on out a little deeper, and the water got up to my knees. Oh, God. Help us, Jesus. Now I'm going to tell you folks something. When the water starts getting up to your knees and you start wading out a little bit more, and you get a lot more interested in what's going on in God's house, and you're more interested in the Word of God, and you're more interested, and you're starting to get more intimate with him, and you're starting to spend more time with him, and you're starting to pray more. Listen, that water of the Holy Spirit, I know we're just using a symbol here of water, so we can imagine good, the Holy Spirit that we can't see, that we see by faith. But now you're in Holy Ghost waters to the knee. And that's when you begin to start praying. The knees, the word, let it represent us being on our knees, praying to God and talking to him. And that's where we begin to receive things from heaven. And we begin to receive things from his hand. You get those things in prayer. And you get the favor of God from that position of prayer. But see, it all takes going a little bit deeper. But aren't you glad that, I mean, this Ezekiel, even Ezekiel didn't have to do this by himself. I say didn't have to do it by himself. He really needed a hand to lead him. I mean, he wasn't real sure what's going on. And you and I really don't know what's going on down here sometimes. Most of the time, in fact. And we need an angel to hold us by the hand and lead us and take us a little bit farther. And the Holy Spirit has come, church. He is here. He came 2,000 years ago to take us by the hand. He said, I am the Spirit of truth. And Jesus said, I am going away, but I will send you the Comforter. And the Comforter, we say, well, it's one who comforts. Yes, it is. But he's also one. Now, I will be doing a wedding on Sunday afternoon for Micah, Chris, and Sandra's daughter. And so in most cases, when the families start walking down the aisle, You can see who's who by where they sit. Lyndall, come with me, please. And so when the woman walks through the door, usually they will, on this side, they will take the usher's arm like this, and the usher will lead them, and he'll say, are you on the groom or the bride side? And if I said the groom side, then he leads me over here and gives me a seat. And then pretty soon, it'll be the bride, and they'll go over there. If it's the mother, ooh, that's special. You see who's in this royal family. You see who's the closest by where they sit. So they will get the front seats. The moms, the dads, take the front seats. Now, you and I have been seated in heavenly places. Jesus, you can see the order. God first on his throne, Jesus at the right hand, and then you and I are seated there above principalities and powers. Amen? And then it's the devil's job to come and tell us that we're not above principalities and powers, that we live right down here with it. Well, we are. We are in the world, but we are not of it. Now, if you only want to stay knee-deep in the waters of God and in God's plan, you can if you want to. You'll still go to heaven. And see, the Holy Spirit led Ezekiel by the angel of the Lord. He led him into those ankle waters. Now, he didn't have to go out farther, but when he offered to take Ezekiel, he went with him. But now, if you want to stay there and the devil comes and says, you're nothing, you'll never amount to nothing. I know you had something going on, but look what you did and look what you said. And look, your marriage is messed up and your children are messed up and this happened and that happened. And if he can convince you that you're going to sit at the back of this wedding. But you've got to tell him, church, I will not sit in the back. I have been seated right here on the front row. That's where I am. I know where I'm seated. I'm somebody in this thing. I'm with Jesus. I mean, he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and so are we. I mean, he said to Peter, he said, Satan wants to sift you like wheat. And Peter kept saying, oh, Lord, they'll all fail you, but not me. Man, I'll never let you down. He said, Peter, shut up. You're going to deny me before that rooster crows. But then he goes on to say, Peter, Satan wants to sift you like wheat, but I'm praying for you that your faith fail not. And guess what? The devil convinced him that he was nobody. He denied Jesus three times. And when he denied Jesus three times, guess what? He ran out and cried. But when Jesus betrayed him, Judas couldn't handle it. He killed himself. But Jesus prayed and interceded for Peter. And Peter just got up, wiped himself off, repented, went to Jesus, and fell at his feet and worshiped him. And his faith failed not, just like Jesus said. I'm telling you, Jesus is an intercessor for us. He prays for us. Jesus is way past the knees. But I just want to tell you, refuse, church. We cannot stay in the water to our ankles, lest our flesh is all out and in control. Your flesh will be loud. Your flesh will speak loudly. Your mind will speak loudly. You will follow the things and the desires of your flesh if only your waters come up to the knee. To the ankles. They're Jesus' waters. They're the Holy Ghost waters. They're waters from heaven. So he led him out to the knees, and that's where we begin to think about prayer and talk, not just talk about prayer. I mean, talk is cheap, folks. Anyone say, oh, I'll be praying for you. I'll pray for you. You see journalists on TV, and they'll say, we've got to be praying for that family. I always wonder, do you pray for them? Are you going to pray for them? We're thinking, and we're sending up prayers for you. Are you? Or are you talking about us doing it? So, consider the waters you're in. How deep in are you? Okay. So I think you got that. When we get to the knees, our prayer life changes. Well, then he says, he brought me out another 1,500 feet or 1,000 cubits. He brought me through, and the water came up to my waist. Now that's past the birthing channel. That's past birthing. That's where you're really starting to get grown up in the faith. That's when you're thinking about when you pull up to a stop sign, you see the person in the car next to you, and you wonder, I wonder if they're saved. I wonder if they know Jesus. Little Parker asked me this morning, Nana, do you think Joe Biden is a Christian? I said, I don't know, baby. And I said, I saw him do this the other day. He said, that's not good enough, Nana. He said, Christians don't do that. Well, I'll leave that alone. But see, you start thinking of people when you get up to waste waters. Our sister Laura told me the other day, she said, you know, I was driving down the street and I saw this poor lady pushing a cart, and she was going out toward these little apartments out south of town, South Main. And she says, I pulled over and she said, I just felt like I had some clothes in the closet that would fit her. And I got out and I said, honey, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but could I give you some clothes I've got? And how are you doing on groceries? You got everything? Well, I could sure use those. Very humble woman. And so she says, well, so I ran home and I told her, where do you live? And she said, you want to ride with me? I'll take you home. Didn't even know the lady. Put her in the car and took her to that little old shack of an apartment out there. And took her out there and dropped her off and said, I'll be back. Sister Laura went back in about an hour and took her clothes and her food and whatever she needed. And she said, you know what? I invited her to church. I think I get to pick her up, bring her to church. See what's happening there? Our sister's getting about waist deep in this water now. She's not very vocal about her faith. You won't see her up here shouting and dancing. But getting a little deeper now. You see what I'm saying? You start thinking like that. Peggy, you're telling me about witnessing all the time. Waist deep. Oh, it gets better. It gets better. Look. And then he measured again. And oh, it was a river. Somebody say it was a river. Look at this that I couldn't cross. Well, the water was what? It was just too deep. Water in which one must swim. A river that he could not be crossed. Listen, when that kind of waters happen, you just live in it. You live in that therma. You just stay in it. And you know what's in those kind of rivers? That's that river of holiness. And that's those rivers of love. And that's those changing waters. That's those changing waters that change everything around you that you thought never in your life would ever be changed. I mean, I hear people say often, I've heard it over the years, Pastor, I know that a lot of things have changed, but my old nature has never changed. I'm still just as mean as my daddy. I'm like, no. But see, it's going to take, quit patting each other out there now. I saw that. You get deeper in those waters, and when you do, they're changing waters, and they're healing waters. And they're blessed waters. And they're glorious waters. And they're really waters that we don't understand. I'll tell you that, folks. We don't understand them. I remember Rodney Howard Brown talking about when the glory came in to their place. See, when it comes like that, it's not in how many songs you've sung and if you sing the chorus one more time. Or whether you gave an altar call or whether you didn't. When those waters are there and you got in deep and your people start moving in, God's people start moving in, most of them have moved way in past the ankles and past the knees. Now they're way up here into the waist. And when that starts happening, you'll see the sheep start having sheep. They start having babies and they start bringing them in. And that's when you know that our waters are increasing and they're getting deeper and deeper and deeper. And the friends you used to have that were unsaved, you won't be with them much any longer, because they'll either come to church with you and be saved, or they won't want to be around you because the glory is too heavy on you. Amen? So this water, he says, was just so deep I couldn't cross over it. I just stayed in it. And Rodney Howard said, when it came there, it wouldn't be anything he could do. And he said one time he was just receiving the offering. And when he raised his hand, a lady out there, she just began to scream and yell and got out of her wheelchair and ran down to the front, just ran around the church. Nobody touched her. Nobody asked her. It's like when this happens, he just comes in and takes over. He doesn't ask you. He doesn't say anything to you. He just does what he wants to do. So all I'm asking us to do, church, is pay attention to him. Pay attention and cooperate with him. Participate with him. Work with him. And Linda's little granddaughter, she was trying to put her shoes on her one day, and Linda was trying her best, and the little girl said, "Nana, work with me." You'd have thought that old Nana would have been smarter with the little girl tying the shoes. And I'll bet God looks at us and said, "You think you're smarter than me? I'm the old guy. I've been around here for billions of years. You don't want to work with me?" Just pay attention. See, this is what I'm feeling in my spirit. It's funny. I was trying to put this into words tonight, this afternoon, and I feel like it's like he's nudging me, just nudging me as the pastor of the house, saying, "Move over a little bit. Just move and let me come in." Like, "Lord, I will. I'll stay home if you want me to. I'll move over. Just come." And if it's just keep loving me, just keep paying attention. But pay attention to what I am saying to you. And I got to tell you, folks, pay attention during your day. If he calls you to be alone with him, get over there and get your secret place. If you're at work and he wants to say something to you, excuse yourself and go in the women's room or the men's room. But just pay attention, because I hear him really saying something to us that it's just about time, church, that we've got to be much aware of the way he is flowing, not only it wants to flow in his house and in our lives, but in the world out there, because the world is a mess. Now, if we didn't have any other witness except to know how bad off this world is and the gross darkness on the people, that'd be enough to know his glory is going to be seen on us. See, he just said, "My glory is going to be seen on you." Not just the preachers you see on TV, but on everybody who loves him, and especially those who are intimate with him. All I can say is watch and pray. Watch yourself. See what you're doing. Pay attention to what you're thinking about. I heard Joyce Meyer say a few weeks ago. She says, pay attention to what you're thinking about. What are you thinking about? What controls most of your thoughts? So pay attention, watch, and pray. Make sure at least you get into the waters to the knee deep. Because look. Once you get in the Holy Ghost waters up to the knees, it's just a given, baby. You're going on up. See, as long as we're children, we don't think about having babies. But the minute that girl, that young man, and that young woman get married, they're going to start talking about having a family. They're going to start talking about having children. And when you become intimate with God, and you become, instead of just betrothed to him or engaged to him, but you have now married him, you're the bride of Christ, that's when you start thinking about having children. We understand the natural. If we understand the natural, we understand the spiritual better. So I'm telling you, it's a given. Once you step in these waters, unless you step out and run back at ankle deep, usually when you get in, you can't help. But just go deeper. You go prayer. You begin to move up. And once you win a soul, there's nothing like it. You begin to go up to the neck. And now your whole flesh, almost your entire flesh, is under the water of the Holy Spirit. Only your mind is out. And see, our mind gives us trouble. This is why he said, "I want your entirety." Your entirety. And he comes by the Logos word, by the written word of God. He's always, the Holy Spirit, track him. He has always come where a church has preached the Logos word. And that's the written word, the truth of the word. You don't stray much. You don't stray, period, from this. I can tell you right now. If I'm going to give you a word, It's going to come out of this. This is why I went here tonight. I want to tell you what I felt, the nudging of the Spirit, but I had to lay it on something, and I lay it on the Logos written word. But he also comes where there's a Rhema word. A spoken word. That's a spoken word, literally, that comes out of the Word of God. And I'll tell you what, he has a plan, church. He's not going to be insulted. We don't need to copy anybody else or do anything. All we've got to do is getting these living, deep waters of the Holy Spirit, because he has a plan for every time in every generation, for every people, for every church, for every woman, for every man of God. He has a plan. And he has a purpose. It's not by accident that you have suffered the things you've suffered in the past years. It's just not an accident. Did God cause it to happen? Of course not. But he will use it to work for your good. Whether we like it or not, he knows how to work it. But I can tell you right now, I am not going to allow this door to be closed. I am not going to allow this door right now, while it's starting to move, to be closed on the flow of the Holy Ghost. I don't care who comes in. I don't care what anyone says. I don't care what your sweet family says. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what the watchers at home may be passing through and say. I'm just not closing the door on it. This door is going to be open, and I believe I've got a whole bunch of people in here with me that says, amen, Pastor, that's what we'll do. Because we're going deeper, hallelujah. Glory to God. So you just pay attention, church, to the spoken word of God, to the written word of God. Because of the things that he has spoken to us all throughout the word, from the Old Testament prophets to the new, simply because of his word and the prophecies of the end time outpouring, we have absolutely no excuse not to let the Holy Spirit move in our churches and in our lives. There's absolutely no excuse for it. And so we're going to call him in. We're going to do as he commands us to do. How many want to go into swimming waters? You want to swim? I was driving up with my little ones past Murray Park the other day, and they have those two pools. They have the little kiddie pool where they wade, and then there's the deep waters. And I thought of this, and I had no idea I was going there tonight, but I thought, there's the shallow waters over there that a lot of people in the church choose to stay in. I'm going to tell you, that's no fun. It really not. It's really not. Because this is a lot of the problem with God's people in the church. This is what causes most of the problems in our homes and in our families and in our own minds and our own hearts. Because we don't go deep enough in the water of the Lord. And in his word and in prayer. We stay just foot deep, ankle deep. Come on, stand with me tonight. Lord, all I could do is just deliver this word. I believe it was a word from you. And Father, we're just going to allow you to come in. I say allow. Holy Spirit, just because of my lack of vocabulary, I'm just saying anytime you want to come, you just come on in. You have nudged me already. You've said, if you move, I'll move. You move and I'll move. And so Holy Spirit, you come right in. Father, I pray if you want to twist and turn our worship to do something else, you do that. If you want to turn to preaching of the word elsewhere or somewhere else, you do that. But Father, however you want the water to flow down here in the altar or in the chairs, that's good. Lord, you can flow however you want with the spirit of healing, the spirit of your glory, a holiness move, a move of prophetic utterance. It doesn't matter. It's usually all wrapped up in one. It's usually all in the waters of the Lord. There are healing waters where the healing waters flow. Woo, hallelujah. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Brother Rick, let me say goodbye to the folks on the camera. God bless you guys. May you be blessed and kept. May the Lord be gracious to you, cause his face to shine on you. And I bless you tonight. Thank you for watching. Amen.